Story Chat with John Fornoff, the art and passion of storytelling. Here's your host, Brian Bullebush.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Story Chat, our little corner of the internet where we talk about the art and passion of storytelling and trying to inspire and educate you guys in the art of storytelling. I'm here with my friend, John Fornoff. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Doing good. We're tackling the how to write in the dark, how to write when you're not feeling up to snuff. And that could be in a lot of ways. That could be depression, family goings wrong, because not everybody's good all the time. Not everybody's great. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people out there struggling with mental health issues, depression. Not everything's great, but writing might be a good way to channel some of that. Or at the same time, it could be a lot harder in those days. So what do you got for me on that?
Oh man. Well, this one I'm intrigued. It's writing in the dark. There's something intriguing. And I want to just encourage, what we do here is we want to encourage you. So whatever you're going through in life, including the pain, when you write out of that, it not only helps you, it helps somebody else out there. And if you can help one other person with their struggle, you know, there's something just, it gives meaning to your own struggle, right? So I want to tell you, so I'm going to start off with a story here. And the whole gist of this is to just let you know, the pain is never wasted. Whatever pain you go through, when you can write out of that pain, and maybe you're not all the way through the pain yet, you're not on the other side of it. But if you can write an honest story, something authentic, writing through that pain, it's going to help somebody. So let me tell you a story, a true story. I was living in Mobile, Alabama. I was in my 20s, and I had a friend. His name was Randall. And Randall's a great guy, kind of quiet guy, kind of, you know, he's just a great Southern guy. Had the pickup truck, you know, like to go hunting, fishing, that kind of things. And we weren't close, but I knew him well. He's in his 20s. And his dad was the pastor of the church, Brother Billy. Everybody in the South is brother, unless you're sister. Yeah. So anyway, Randall got cancer. And it's like, what? In your 20s? Yeah, like, yeah, it happened. And he died. It's like, whoa. It's just, when you're in your 20s, you're immortal, right? And it just shocked everybody. And it kind of rattled everybody. Brother Billy took to the pulpit the Sunday of his son's death. It was like, you think he, you know, take off a couple of weeks, but he got up to the pulpit, and you can imagine that he goes up to the pulpit and says, what's he going to say? Everybody's like just on edge. What's he going to say? You know? And he opens up his Bible and he takes us to Isaiah 45:3, to a passage I'd never seen before. And Brian, I think you got it right there. Can you read that for us?
Okay. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel.
Wow. That was powerful. He said, there are treasures you will find in the darkness that you will find at no other time in life. So if you are going through the darkness, look for the treasure. And for us that are believers, part of the treasure, one of the most beautiful treasures, is finding the closeness of God's presence. If you're not a believer, it's finding something in you didn't know you had. But there's a treasure to be found in the darkness. So the darkness you can find a purpose in the darkness, even though it doesn't seem like it makes any sense. But there's a treasure to be found. There's another way, and that really impacted me. I've gone through like some pretty tough times, some dark times in my life, and I'm looking for the treasure. Where's the treasure? And that treasure, by the way, when you come out of that dark season, you keep the treasure. And like a video game, right? You find the treasure and you go on to the next level and you keep that treasure with you. And that's a beautiful thing. So there's another parallel to that. And it comes out of, again, we talked about this earlier, about what makes a classic and what makes a classic. How do stories last for thousands of years? And again, even if you're not a believer, hang in there with me. Look at Psalm 23. That's kind of a universal, all around the world kind of thing. People go to Psalm 23. It's lasted for thousands of years. Why? And I looked at that. I've been looking at it this week. And it's fascinating, Brian. I was looking at this. It's actually an adventure story. There's it's actually David's adventure story. It starts off with the Lord. He calls God Lord. You're my shepherd. Now he's going to take him someplace. He's going to lead him, going to make him lie down in green pastures by the still waters. Okay, you're getting ready. I'm taking you someplace. And now I'm going to lead you in my paths of righteousness. Those are paths of adventure. I'm going to lead you to the valley of the shadow of death, which is really poignant. And and there's a table set before you in the midst of your enemies. Now he lived this. He was a shepherd. He found God as a shepherd, right? He knew about what it was in the still places. And he went through the valley of the shadow of death with Goliath. And later on in life, he was in valleys metaphorically where he had enemies all surrounding him. So this, if you look through Psalm 23, there's an adventure story here. So what is it? How does it apply to us as writers? Well, guess what? It's not only David's adventure story, it's our adventure story. I'm not going to go into all the details of it, but you look at Psalm 23 and you'll see different parts of David's life and you can make parallels. Oh, I remember when he did this and this, and it's all in there. Hmm. And this is your story. This is your story. And it goes in loops. You go through it and then you go through another valley of the shadow of death, whatever. But where are you in this story? Right out of that, right authentically. There's something about faith-based writers, and I don't want to hurt people's feelings, but there's something about we have to make it happy. We have to have a happy ending.
Yeah.
Not all stories have a happy ending. Look at Psalms. Some of the Psalms are there. David's writing out of the shadows. He's writing in the darkness. He's writing in fear, right? Right.
Literally, some of them are, he's literally cowering from his enemies, writing his poetry.
Yeah, he's not paranoid. They really were after him. They really were out to kill him. He really did have a friend betray him. So right out of that betrayal, right out of that fear, right? Don't be afraid to go. Don't be afraid of fear. Write it. Write it out. Not only is it therapeutic, you're going to be helping somebody out there when they're going through stuff. Mm-hmm. David did this. Beautiful. I love David. He's so honest. And he's like, I sometimes look at Psalms, you know, I think like, okay, this looks like God, this kind of makes you look bad, you know, these songs. Yeah. But God's has guts enough to put it in there. There's something about David wrote authentically, and that's something we're missing out of certain stuff out there. It's like, oh, we have to put a nice happy bow in the end.
Yeah.
Not, it doesn't always end up like that. So write authentically and write true.
Well, I think it's also what man intended for evil, God meant for good is, in my eyes, very encouraging, because even though it is a quote unquote sad ending in Joseph's case, in what God meant or man meant for evil, God meant for good, it was talking specifically about Joseph's story and them selling him to these slavers. But God used that pain and betrayal to literally save thousands of people in the droughts and famine that covered the land, in which Egypt was the only one who really survived through that because of Joseph.
It's remarkable. Yes.
I actually had a childhood friend of mine. His mom was a editor for Christian publishing. His dad works for the for a missions board. His mom dropped dead in the shower.
Wow.
It was very sudden. She was a very healthy individual, kind of a second mom to me. It was a really sad occurrence because there was no saying goodbye. There was no anything, but I have seen, his dad write out of his pain and post a blog on Facebook. And I've seen the ministry that has had by helping others go through the pain and go through the suffering at the same time. And it's been very therapeutic for so many people. And it's astounding to see the reach that ministry has had in the depths of a very sad end of a story. He's able to find the joy in that, which is absolutely stunning.
And sometimes, even if you don't find the joy, there is a thread of hope. There's a thread of hope through any dark time. If you can find just even that thread, look, Psalms. Psalms is a great example. By the way, it's a beautiful example. Thank you for sharing that. And when you write out of that pain, it's almost like it gives, the pain is never wasted. The pain is actually, it's helping you process, but it's also going to bless somebody else going through a similar situation. That's why the Psalms have comforted people for thousands of years. It's authentic. It's true. And just to be just because this is actually my therapy session as well. As a podcast.
Anyway. That's well established at this point.
Yes, exactly right. So this is John's therapy session. Thank you, guys. I'm supposed to be encouraging you, but I need some encouragement right now. No, it's okay. It's not bad. I'm going through a funk right now, which is really weird for me. I don't like funk. All right. It's like this phantom funk. And I'm just being, we're talking about being writing authentic, writing true. What I want to do is if I don't have a project that will, I might have a project right now, but there's different projects I have. So what I want to do is I want to write out of what I'm going through. This is interesting. When Paul McCusker and Phil Lawler, when they were writing the classic Adventures in Odyssey shows back there, one or both of them were talking about, you can see where they were spiritually because they wrote out of their heart, right? They wrote authentically in the road tree. These guys are masters. I got to
actually,
work with them.
That actually reminded me of that one from the 80s, I believe. Your story about Randall reminded me, I was like, that really sounds like Robin. Do you remember that story? Did you ever listen to that one? Because I think
that was when she got cancer. Somebody got cancer. Is that right?
Yeah, or? Was it a friend of Mandy's? No, that was
before Mandy. I think it was Lisa Cunningham. Might have been Lisa.
It was Cunningham Schultz.
Yeah. Lucy. Lucy Cunningham. Right. Yeah.
And Robin got sick and passed. It was a very dark story, and you could feel the pain. You could feel the truth in that story. Mm-hmm. So now you're making me question, were they going through a hard time when writing that story?
Well, you know, what I love about working with Paul and Phil, by the way, both those guys, they're masters of the craft, masters of story, and they wrote out of a real place. They didn't just imagine it, which you can do as a writer, right? I think they wrote out of reality. They wrote out of something that they actually went through. And that's what you're writing authentically. That's what when you write stuff. And by the way, I'm going to get through whatever I'm going through. I feel I'm just in a transition. There's no reason for me to be like this. I don't know what it is. It's weird.
Yeah.
But I'll get through it. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write in the midst of that. I've got a project coming up. I might be able to do that. But it's just like where I can write authentically out of whatever I'm going through. And when I get on the other side, I can also look back on it. And I can write from that angle, too. So I can write from two different angles. So don't waste the pain. Use it. Let it be a good writing experience. Yeah.
How do I use it? How do I channel it into whatever I'm writing? Say I'm writing a story that's has a happy ending and I'm in the midst of writing it and I'm just feeling super depressed and it's a Disney princess story where there's happiness and sunshine and everything wins. Uh-huh. And you started out the project when you were in a much brighter place, but you're having trouble getting pen to page because you're not feeling that. How do you transition that pain into writing?
Even the stories with the happiest ending. Disney said this. He learned this doing Alice in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland was a wonderful story, but it didn't hit like the others emotionally. He learned something. For every, I'm paraphrasing. For every smile, you need to have a tear. It's like, like even in the happiest of stories, the reason that's so happy is it's a catharsis because you have to wrestle with something. You have to wrestle with a pain. You have to struggle through something to get to that happiness. So even in the happiest of stories, there is a struggle that you can put in there. And, you know, you're writing a kid's story. Let's say you're writing a story about animated frogs, which I've done. Okay. And you know, I can't go all into the depths of what, you know, the frog is going through. It's Tad the Tadpole. It's a lot of fun. But I can put, maybe I can't put the whole struggle I'm working with, but I can put a little, an aspect of what he's dealing with. He's dealing with identity. He's dealing with whatever. And write true, write whatever you're dealing with. You might not be able to put it all on the page, but at least part of your struggle you can put in your story. And that makes your story ring true. It resonates with people. And I've had people come up to me, it's like, you know, people are blessed when you write authentically and it helps them through whatever they're going through. So the pain, again, the pain is never wasted. Use it. Use it to write great story.
What if I'm writing a story and I'm using all that, but I just can't get out of bed in the morning and can't actually get pen to page. Like I've had that happen to me where I just physically cannot write because I just don't want to.
Uh-huh.
And it's sometimes for me, it's a discipline thing because
All right.
I won't go there, but yeah. It's just, I'm sad and kind of depressed, and you just don't want to write. You don't want to think creatively. What would be steps to, barring like a tragic family accident, because that's harder to move on. But what if it's just funk? Okay. To distill this question, how are you helping yourself out to put pen to page?
I don't know if I'm there yet. I'm still working through that, getting out of bed. It's a miracle I'm out in Pasadena right now. No, it's we're working through, we're going to be fine. Don't worry, folks. It'll be all right. It'll come out in the end. But how do we work through that? One thing is don't be isolated. This is more of a psychological thing than writing thing, but it's also with writing. Don't get isolated. When you get isolated, you get off yourself, you start to kind of get into spiral. Talk it out with somebody you trust. Talk it out with a counselor, a pastor, a friend, a parent, a good friend that runs deep and runs true. Talk it out. And as you talk it out, you're going to find, as a writer, you're going to find a story there. You're going to find a story about friendship. You know, you're going to find out who your real friends are, and you can write about that. You can write in your story, you can write from a mentor point of view, you know, while you're helping somebody. So as far as if you're having trouble getting going, you can't put on the page, don't beat yourself up about it. Talk it out. And if you're working with a story, talk with your friends about a story. By the way, stories are great. Stories are wonderful. This is amazing. This happened here in the US during the Depression. Movie studios still were pumping out movies. The movie studios did well. I mean, they weren't like doing skyrocket, but they did well. Why? Because people wanted to go to the movies to get perspective on the Depression. Talk about the Depression. That was the big D, right? And as they're going through that, movies gave them a chance not only of escape, it actually gave meaning and purpose to what they were going through. It gave them an outlet. It gave them another perspective. It helped them to get into somebody else's shoes to see it from their point of view. It does a lot of therapeutic things, what story does. And that's why stories thrived during the Depression. And there's something about how stories can help us through our whatever we're going through, whatever depression we're going through, and help others as well. And that's the beautiful thing about writing.
Huh. I never knew that about, I mean, that makes sense. It's very cathartic, very, and I guess if you notice through a lot of cultures, the American culture has very almost a fixation on the happy ending story, the Disney story, everything has to have a happy ending. But if you look at history and some European films and some,
oh boy,
European stories, and even way back to like Norse mythology, it's all doom and gloom at the end. It's really American stories that have kind of changed that in a certain way.
And that's okay if you've earned it. The more you earn that happiness, the more authentic that happiness feels. If you just go for the cheap shot and just, you know, you kind of wrap it up, you do an emotional shortcut to get them happy at the end, and you haven't earned it, people can feel that. But if you've gone through some sacrifice to get there, if you've gone through hardship, if you've gone through some dark places to get to that place, that darkness makes the happiness shine all the stronger because it's true. And so nothing wrong with happy endings. That's fine. But just make sure you earn it. You earn it.
Well,
it sounded profound. I don't know why. It just sounded profound. When you repeat it twice, it just makes it much more profound. Much more profound. Did you feel it?
Okay. I definitely felt it. do you know of any like writing exercises to help you get emotions on the page? Write a letter, throw it out, sort of deal. Because I know I've heard that one for like rage and people being angry. You write a nasty letter to the person, then you throw it out. You don't actually give it to them. Is there anything? Because for me, I'm a very emotionally locked person. I don't like to let my emotions spill out anywhere. What are some good exercises to just get it out on the page? How are some easy steps?
Great question. Keep a journal. Keep a journal. Your journal is, what's beautiful is, I've heard this, story is really an emotional journey. It's a journey of the emotions. So the more you're in touch with your emotions, the better writer you can be. It can unlock something in you. So how do you do this? How do you do it? Keep a journal. Write a journal of how you feel about something, the good, the bad, the ugly. And nobody has to see it. It's just you. It's a safe place. and get it on the page. You're going to find when you're writing in your journal, you're going to find certain through lines of your story that you can put into stories that you write for others. So yeah, a journal is a great way to do it. Another way to do that, we talked about this earlier here, is so that's one safe place to do it, especially if you're more introverted, don't like to talk it out. Now, so, one thing I love about my introverted friends, which I have introvert tendencies too, I can relate, is if you can find someone, one person you can really confide in and talk through those emotional things, that can help you too. We can talk to somebody who's safe and where you can just talk about genuinely how you feel. And again, with that, if you're not keeping a journal, at least journal it in your heart. Keep a note in your heart about that. You're going to come back to that place, and you're going to write out of that place, and you're going to write some great stuff that's going to change people.
All right. Now, here's a little bit of a taking this entire topic and flipping it on its head, but it's still writing in the dark. So,
okay. Wait, we're flipped on our head in the dark. This sounds very dangerous.
Yes, it is, but we'll give it a try anyway.
Okay.
A story like Les Mis has... Mm-hmm. Sex, it has violence, it has profanity. I'm a Christian writer, and you saying write truth and go where it takes you. That truth will take you to a very dark place. How do I write in the dark, in these dark spaces, while keeping your soul intact?
Man, is that a great question. I feel unqualified to answer such a great question. It's like, holy cow, why am I answering this? Wow. You know, to me, we talked about, you know, our journey with God and all that. Our journey with, when you are tethered in a good way, you're tied to, you're anchored in your faith. It's not just your faith. You're anchored to a person, a real life person who loves you and cares for you. That's how you hang on to your, you keep your soul intact when you go through those times. There's something about two things. One is when you're really, and I'll talk to non-believers too, because we're reaching all kinds of people. I'll talk to believers first and then non-believers. So believers first. Hey, we're tapped into God. God knows what we go through, and he is the defender of our souls. He's our protector, right? And so he will help. Look at David. David's a wonderful example. You look at those Psalms, they go into dark places, but David at the end, his heart was after God. He kept his soul through that. And again, he just kept coming back to God. His compass, right? No matter what's going through, his compass always kept pointing north. Like, he went through some really tough time. He went through sin, went through awful scandal, all this kind of stuff, betrayal. People were after him. He's going to be killed. All this kind of stuff. His compass always pointed north, and that's how he kept his soul. So he wrote in the dark. He wrote in the dark, but he found that's there's something to keep pointing us, but through all the darkness of say, but I know someday you're going to come through. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's a pretty bold statement. But even in those darkest of times, you'll see a little thread. So stay in the word, stay close to God. And that will help keep your soul intact while you're writing in the darkness. His light shines in the darkness. If you're not a believer, look for truth. That will keep your soul in line. Look for what is true, and not just like what is true, what you feel like. I'm talking about what is universally true. You know in your knower, you know to be true. Stay true to what you know is absolutely true, and stick to that stuff you grew up with, and that'll guide you. So I hope that helps. We're talking about writing in the dark, which is a pretty dark topic, but you know, it's, thank you guys for my therapy session. I'm sure you can charge me some money for this, but it helps. I hope this helps you. If you're going through something tough, you're going through a funk or whatever, it's not wasted. Use that to help somebody else and give them hope in whatever they're struggling with. Write authentic, write true, and you're going to write deep and you're going to write well. So there we go. Hope that helps you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Story Chat. If you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions for John or feedback on the show, please email us at storychatwithjohn@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.